Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello! Hi! Welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, and I am producer and host of this show. And we are coming to you where? Live from Los Angeles.
Los Angeles!
Yes! Woo! Los Angeles, California. And for 11 years, we have been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. And this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality and thinking about pursuing a career in the entertainment industry, or if you're just interested in tips in elevating your career. Now, the guests on our show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, working professionals, which include producers and directors and casting directors and talent managers and actors and singers and dancers and models and musicians. Who else do we have? Oh, my gosh. PR agents, publicists, screenwriters, script supervisors, stunt people, celebrity makeup artists, entertainment attorneys, and the list goes on and on and on and on. So, if they are in the entertainment industry, we try to have them on the show. Now, if you missed any of our shows, here are the three ways that you can listen to past shows. Number one, go to our archive page, which is on the latalkradio.com website, and search for our show title, which is Question Reality, obviously. Number two, you can go to iTunes, Google Play Store, right, Albert? Yeah, Google Play Store. We're on Stitcher.com. Under the podcast section. And we have, of course, our free mobile app, which is on the App Store and the Google Play Store. And lastly, we ask that you do us a little favor. Subscribe. Subscribe to our podcast via the Apple Podcast. So please do that. Always be entertained. Up late at night, nothing to do. Watch our podcast. That's the thing to do. Finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on my show to promote themselves, their products, and help others with their sage advice, then we're always booked 6 months in advance. So right now we're booking for, I believe, June, July, August, September, October, and November. That's probably off. Because I don't know, just submit to the website. Go to our website, questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, not latalkradio.com. That's the website where we air the show, questionrealityradioshow.com, and go to submit under the contact section. And that's it. So go now. All right. Very exciting. I just see this little hottie next to me. My goodness, we've had her on the show before. I just want to pull this up. I don't know if you can zoom in on it. It says Christina Lindhart. Lindhart. Whoa, that's a hard one. That was Albert. Albert, you know, that's like his thing. I don't know if you can see him over there, but that's like his one duty over there to do the track. It's called Circus Sanctuary, and you might want to go right now and get this on iTunes. As a matter of fact, it's on iTunes. Where else is it, Christina?
It's on iTunes. It's on CD Baby for the hard copies. It's on Spotify, though I prefer people go to iTunes. Spotify is like,
yes.
You know.
I heard problems with that. We're going to talk about that later. Now, I just want to do one little tiny announcement before we start with Christina Lindhart. That way you can go to iTunes and buy some of her music. We'll talk about that. I would love for you to share this information. We are currently seeking screenwriters who have powerful stories under 10 pages that revolve around a social bias incident. So with the story unfolding from the victim's the victimized person's viewpoint. And the script, your script, will be purchased, produced, and become part of our series. The deadline is February the 1st. So please feel free to contact me for any questions that you have. You can enter through our website, which is civildisobedienceseries.com. civildisobedienceseries.com. /script-contest, all, as you know, if you go on imdb.com and go under my name, Priscilla Leona Horn, with an E, you will see all of the films that we've produced, and all of our films win awards. We just had four of our songs that were, what would you say, Albert? Four of our songs were nominated for an Oscar, and we made the long list. Unfortunately, the short list, no, didn't expect it. They ended up with films like Frozen and Aladdin, and we knew what was going on. But, you know, as Sally Field said, it's just great to be nominated. So that, and actually we had another one of our films a while back nominated for an Oscar for an independent film. So just to give you an idea that when your script is purchased, it will be produced and you will get lots of awards, tons of awards. All right, so back to our guest today. Let me read you a little bit about Christina Lindhart. God, I had the same
does
problem
that.
Last time. We want to put the D there. We want it
so
to be Lindhart,
I know.
Right?
Everybody does.
Christina is the winner of the 2013 Hollywood Fame Award for Best Documentary Guantanamo Circus, which is now available on Amazon Prime. And she performs locally as a singer and a dancer at venues and events, which include Hollywood Magic Castle. Oh my gosh, if you've never been there, it is the place to go. If you have friends and family in town and you know someone, I think it is a private club, mm-hmm. So you do have to know someone, right?
Yes, you have
to get you in there. So I don't know how, but I ended up with lots of friends who work at the Magic Castle. So actually, now I didn't know that you did that. I'll be calling you up, Christina.
I just got a call for possibly performing in March. So,
oh my God, I love that place. She performs at the Los Angeles Opera Ring Festival, the Southern California Chamber Music Consortium, which is very elite. It's a privilege to perform there. She performs at the German Consulate, and one of my favorite places in the world, the Grove. Love that place, especially around the holidays. Oh my gosh, it's
gorgeous.
So beautiful over there. She works in theater therapy, which a lot of people may not have heard of, and I want to touch on that today because I actually had never heard of that. So it serves veterans and at-risk youth, Alzheimer's patients, and psychiatric patients. And Christina is passionate, obviously, about the arts, the environment, and special programs geared towards creating better conditions for veterans, children, and those in need. And as we said, Christina's album's Voodoo Princess, isn't that a great title, Albert? Don't you know? Oh, Jesus. God almighty. Oh, my God. What? You are not getting extra pay for that one, so don't even think about it. So, Christina's album, Voodoo Princess, and, of course, Circus Sanctuary. Oh, my God. I just noticed what's on back. So, as if this isn't saucy right here, look at this on the back. I'm going to have to confiscate these and put these in my purse so Albert doesn't get a hold of these because I can tell this is his type of material right here. Oh, my God, the Vaseline will be missing. I have to go to CVS and get a whole new box. Oh, no, wait, here it is. Oh, here's Voodoo Princess. Oh, here we go. There. Oh, my God, there's another one. Wow, look at that. And look on the back. Those are gorgeous, beautiful,
Thank
beautiful.
You.
I mean, the makeup, the hair, the costumes. I can tell you did that, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes. A friend of mine helped me with the photoshopping and the artwork, but we just sort of came up with that and then photoshopped it in. And yeah, just my gloves,
my
top hat.
I know your style. You got gorgeous style. She's
Thank
very
you.
Bohemian Rhapsody. You know, I love it. As a matter of fact, can we see your boots?
Oh, my boots aren't as exciting as yours.
I know. I just love, I have those. Do my gosh, in black. I didn't realize I had those in black.
Yeah, yours are the best because they have silver.
Hold on. Let me see if I can get my big fat leg up here. Let's see. Wow. Wow. Look at this.
You are so flexible.
Woo! I know. Can you imagine? I can actually put this leg behind my head. It's a pretty sight, mind you, but I can still do it.
You are so flexible.
Let's touch boots. Yes. Hi. How are you?
Oh, you're small feet, too. What size are you?
I am a 9.
Oh, really? You look small. I'm 5.5.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, that's because they're a big boot.
Yeah.
So your feet, if you took them out, like this is puckered. So. Right. Right there.
Yours looks small.
Like, you got a small foot.
Look how flexible you are. I'm so impressed.
Uh-huh. That's what Albert loves about me. That's one of his favorite things, right? But so we're rocking the boots today. I am flexible amongst my other talents. This is one of them. Okay, we're going to take our legs off of the table now, but so glad you could see the boot.
I am so impressed.
Thank you so much. Now, gosh, we have so much to talk about. I wanted to start with talking about, oh, by the way, go to Christina's website, circussanctuary.com, circussanctuary.com. She's also on Facebook, YouTube, IMDb, and Amazon. Give her a little thumb up and a follow, please. We all need little thumbs these days, right?
Thank you. It does help.
Yeah, everybody needs a thumb and a finger every day, but we won't talk about that. Yeah. Let's talk about your education and training. Now, you may not know it, but you got to go to her website to read her bio because I couldn't even, I mean, you would just have to read for like half an hour and, you know, her, everything she's done in life. But just to touch on it under her education and training, she has studied acting and movement at Oxford University in England. Woo! French at the Euro Center in Paris. German at the, how do you pronounce that?
Goethe
Institute in Berlin, and received her Bachelor's of Music in Vocal Arts from USC with a minor in Theater Arts. So obviously we're looking at a brainiac here. Not only is she academically achieved, but she is theatrically achieved as well. Now, I realize that we have something in common. Mm-hmm. You apparently appeared opposite Oscar winner Maximilian Schell in Faust Comes to Grand Avenue,
yes,
with the Los Angeles Opera.
Mm-hmm.
And I, dear people, I was in Der Rosenkavalier.
Were you?
Produced by Maximilian Schell Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw that. Mm-hmm. Because the reason Maximilian Schell was working at LA Opera was my father brought him in.
Yeah.
He made the introduction. What?
What were you doing? I was the widow with the kids, the three kids. Now, keep in mind, hold on, before you get excited, what happened to me, Albert? Those damn kids bum rushed me.
Oh my gosh.
Knocked me on the stage during the night before we're supposed to go on. I tore my meniscus in my right leg. I hurt my back. I rolled. You know how it's slanted? Mm-hmm. I rolled all the way down and ended up in front of Gary Marshall.
Oh my gosh.
It was the worst situation in my life. And then Gary Marshall goes, I think that's time for lunch.
Oh my God.
I'm like, well, I feel like I'm in New York.
Oh.
Wow. So that's what we have in common.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Yeah.
So also you have voice lessons. You gave voice lessons. This is exciting, everybody. Gave voice lessons to Grammy Award winner Dawn Robinson of In Vogue.
Yes, long time ago.
That was my jam band back in the day. I loved In Vogue. You're talking about the pop band.
Yeah, and it's so funny because I didn't even know who they were.
Ooh.
But she had called me, and the way that came about, it just shows these coincidences, yeah, and always, you know, always be nice to everybody. A man came to my apartment. This was right out of college, and he came to my apartment to replace my toilet. a toilet, oh. right? This is going to lead to Invogue.
I love that.
Yeah. And then he looked around my apartment. It was very bohemian. And he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I just graduated from USC, my degree in opera. And he said, do you teach voice lessons? And I said, I do. And so he said, can I have a lesson? So I gave him a lesson.
The plumber?
Yeah, the plumber.
I love that.
Yeah. He was doing like R&B and rap. And I gave him a voice lesson. And I really felt on. I felt like it was my best lesson. And that was like it. He never called again. And I thought, oh, well, he didn't like the lesson. But turns out he talked about it a lot, and he somehow knew Dawn Robinson because he was working with her, and he told her all about the voice lesson, and next thing you know, she called me up for lessons.
Oh, my
this was
God.
Years ago. This was like in the late 90s or 2000.
Wow.
And it was right before she had to move out of LA, and but it was, and I didn't know who they were, and then friends of mine are like, are you kidding me?
Oh my Invogue? God, they were the jam.
Right, right, because I was so isolated. Ooh. I was such in the classical music world at USC.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been, well, I was, we. If you went to the clubs, you were discoing at the clubs in the late 80s and 90s, you'd know Invogue, but you were in the world of opera.
Right,
so it's a different world, right.
And so it was very, then when I found out who she was, I'm like, wow, this is like a lot of responsibility, because yeah. she'd already, this was when she was leaving Invogue and was going to go solo and was working with Dr. Dre. And I don't know what happened. I think, unfortunately, that all fell apart, as the music industry yeah. does and can.
Yeah.
But she was a wonderful student. She was, student. Like, she even called her a student.
What were you?
I was giving her voice lessons, but technique. Oh. She wanted, you know, she wanted fuller technique. I mean, here she was, a complete pro. But mm-hmm. singing, there's so much more when it comes to technique and breathing and so
proper
much.
Proper breathing right. and proper. I mean, how
you
many?
You know that.
Oh, yeah.
With your aunt, right?
Yeah. You know Marilyn Horne is my aunt.
I know of it. And you told me that and I was blown away, because that's our, you know,
and yet
John Bon Jovi.
I have no singing ability whatsoever. Whatsoever. And yet we have Marilyn Horne, who, for those who don't know, she's an opera singer. Can't sing a lick. Did not get the musical gifts. But so many singers, and I don't know if you know this, but I think Adele maybe ruptured her vocal cords, or somebody.
Yeah, she did.
From improper. Well, I don't want to say that, yeah. but that's what I heard. I don't know, Adele, so don't be coming at me. But that's right. what was in the paper.
It was in the paper,
so
yes.
So you were, so it's very good to get proper singing lessons.
Right, because you can get vocal nodes. You can really ruin your voice. Even if you're getting a great sound that sounds fabulous in a recording, there can be a lot of mm-hmm. problems, and then you can never sing again. There, for example, well, I mean, it can sometimes work in your favor. There was that Betty Davis Eyes song, and the singer who sang it.
Kim something.
Yeah. She had really extreme vocal nodes and she couldn't sing, but she did that recording and they loved the scratchiness.
Yeah.
And so it was very cool. But yeah. then I don't know if she was able to sing after that. So sometimes there can be those problems. And there are other singers I've heard about who had to take long rests.
Yeah.
They had to get the surgery on the cords.
Yeah.
And that's scary because you could get damaged for life.
That's right.
So so proper technique is important. And the classical is always a good route.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't need to stay there, but you want that body muscle memory.
Yeah. And I think the focus, because I had she's passed on now, but one of my dear friends, her name was Jeannie Diva, and she was very famous in the world of, well, she did so much singing and dancing. She would come on my show and she would say that the diaphragm, you have to mm-hmm. sing from the diaphragm.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
And that's the way. She was really big on helping people to not get the damage on the vocal cords.
Right.
So she always emphasized that. And then she would try to give me lessons and she'd say, okay, do the what do you hear? And I said, I think I'm going to spit any minute. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
mm-hmm.
do you still teach vocal lessons, or you don't have time to do that
I don't
now?
Really have time. I will occasionally, but it's not really my focus, mm-hmm. so I'd have to have a...
No lessons a from good... her. She is moved above that now.
Well, a good offer. Like if it was another Grammy winner, then I'd think about it.
That's right. Did you know that Jamie Foxx is classically trained?
Oh, yes. I didn't. But it doesn't surprise me because he seems so trained. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a great talent.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, doesn't surprise me.
I was telling Christina that two of my friends, as a matter of fact, this is very relevant. Two of my friends, Micah and Amy, are nominated for a Grammy.
Yay.
And we just had a listening party at Jamie Foxx's house on December 27th. And Amy was telling all of the stories about Jamie Foxx because they're very good friends and they went to school together and they studied classical music together. Wow. So I was like, what? I didn't even know that. So we heard lots of Jamie Foxx stories about back in the day. But yeah, I was surprised that he was classically trained. I mean, I knew he sang well and he had a beautiful voice, but had no idea about that. Anyway, watch the Grammys because my friend Amy is nominated in the world music category.
Good for her.
All right. So let's talk about you being a trained theater therapist. First of all, what is that? Now, I know you do it for, is it still for Imagination Workshop?
It's called the Imagination Workshop. And this work is my passion. Now, there is something called drama therapy, where you recreate situations in your life and rework them. That is not what we do. Mm. We're called the Imagination Workshop. We're under the auspices of the Semmel Institute, the UCLA Semmel Institute for Neuroscience. At UCLA. Used to be the Neuropsychiatric Institute.
That's like legit.
It's very legit. Because that's actually a pretty cutting edge program. But our Imagination Workshop was founded by Lyle Kessler and Margaret Ladd. He's a playwright. She was on Falcon Crest. They founded it back in the 60s in New York at a psychiatric institute. And so we work with mental patients. We work with PTSD homeless veterans at the VA hospital. Mm-hmm. And we've also worked with Alzheimer's. And so what we do is people play characters other than themselves. They make up characters. And through the guise of a character, they can have a new experience. They can all of a sudden feel they can get out of themselves and their old patterns. All our vets say when they did the Imagination Workshop for the first time, they were not their trauma. They were not their PTSD. Mm-hmm. They were not their past. Wow. They could be something else.
Wow. That's amazing. And you work with at-risk youth and juvenile mm-hmm. lockup facilities.
Yes,
what do you do there? Well, same thing?
Or? We've moved into doing that. Originally, I started substitute teaching in juvenile hall when I was like 23, 24, just out of college. And I was having a lot of fun.
Yeah,
those
good.
Kids are crazy and wild. And then I did a lot of programs like the Bridge Program or East LA Classic Theater, where we'd use theater as academic intervention.
Mm.
So it wasn't therapy, but it was academic, because for the first time, the kids would write more than they ever wrote because it interested them.
Yeah.
Because the arts interest you, and if they could tell their own story.
Mm.
So, and a lot of times the kids would read for the first time, not for the first time, but more than they ever read before because it interests them.
Wow.
So we used theater as academic intervention.
Now, are you still doing that?
I'm still doing the Imagination Workshop.
Okay.
And working with the veterans right now.
Mm.
Well, we just started a new group of fabulous mentally ill, criminally insane, homeless, dual diagnosis veterans. And
all of those at the
all of those
same
like
time?
In one guy. Yeah, everyone's like, among guy. They're the most wonderful people on the planet, though. And we're putting on a play with them. They're going to write it. We're writing it with them. And we're all going to perform it together.
And where and when does this take place?
That will be April 18th
at
the Brentwood School. The Brentwood School is hard to find the theater, but the Brentwood School, April 18th. Also, April 17th is open dress rehearsal. It'll be a short original play that they write, but it's all about the process for them. And that's April 18th at 8 o'clock at the Brentwood School.
What day is that?
That's a Saturday.
Saturday.
But people
night.
Come the Friday too.
Okay.
And it's free to the public, absolutely
wow.
free. And then usually afterwards we open it up for Q&A to talk about the process and how it was healing. And it's in conjunction with New Directions. So it's Imagination Workshop and New Directions for Veterans.
Now, I know you pointed something out about how difficult it is to get to Brentwood. Are there any tips? Because as soon as you say something's in Brentwood, I'm like, pass.
Forget it. I know.
It is crazy getting any tips on how to get there. Where to park? There's no parking.
Well, this is a good thing. Parking's included at the school. So free parking. So whenever I hear free parking, then I'm much more concerned going.
That's right.
On the Saturday, it shouldn't be as trafficy. You can get off Sunset on the 405 and you should be able to access the school. I'll send you out information on that. But you just go to Brentwood School. It's off of Sunset and then it's this long way down, but it's free parking.
Oh, good.
Free show.
Oh,
and you get to
see
the veterans.
You can't be free.
Exactly.
We love free.
Especially when some of these guys are so such beautiful souls. I mean, people have been through it.
Are they, okay, so this is at a school, and where do these people normally live? Are they at
Live at the VA hospital. They're at the New Directions, which is a shelter and a recovery, live-in recovery program.
Okay.
It used to be lockup, and I used to work with them too. So we're only using the Brentwood School Theater because the Brentwood School is supposed to be helping the veterans.
I sense there's a story there.
So they sometimes, they are obligated to give us that theater.
Okay. They need to be helping more, I sense.
Yes.
By doing something.
Yes, the Brentwood School, because technically they're not even supposed to be on that land unless they help the veterans. So,
they're not helping as much.
No. We need more help from them for the play. Exactly.
What can they do?
Well, they can spread the word about the play. They can give us the theater, which they're going to. That sort of thing
and
promote the play. Exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
they
then
probably have a long list of people that they could do for. And
exactly.
Or if they don't want to do it, give it to you and you'll do it.
But exactly. And the play is free. And I want all the artists in the world to come see it for free. But, you know, the Brentwood School community, they certainly could give a few donations. I don't think
they're not giving donations, people. We're going to pick it.
There's a whole LA Times article about this, so I'm not saying anything that wasn't in the LA Times.
Right. Yeah, well, we need to talk to the people at the Brentwood School.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We have something in common. I only did it one time, but your hobbies, because you would not think that this cute little tiny little, what is that called? In the Macbeth play, Midsummer's Night.
Oh, Midsummer Night's Dream. So Shakespeare, right.
Thank you. So you all remind me of that little fairy. Was it Oberon?
Or was it Puck?
Puck.
I played Puck in the opera.
Oh, really?
There's a Midsummer Night's Dream opera written by Benjamin Britten based on the Shakespeare.
See?
And I played Puck. Thank you.
I always saw you as Puck. Yay. And so you wouldn't imagine that this little thing, my little Puckster, does some of these hobbies. Are you ready for this? She skydives, which I did one time.
The
greatest thing of my life a long, long time ago.
Where did you do it?
At the California.
Yeah, that's where I went the first time.
Rafa, the
my first time. Yeah, that's
the first and only time. But because there is a weight limit, I barely made it by a pound and he wasn't going to That's when I first came to LA. So I've had time to grow since then, literally, figuratively. She skydives. Are you ready for this? Street fighting. This little thing does Krav Maga. Krav Maga. You know Krav Maga. That's the, I believe, let me make sure I got it right. That is the Israeli army technique for fighting.
Right, the Israeli army, martial art, or actually it literally means street fighting, Krav Maga, or contact combat. Literally means contact combat.
And it was started by the Israeli
army, yes.
Right? But that's some serious shit. It can kill your ass in seconds.
Yes.
She could kill both of us with like one swoop. We'd be doing the radio show. She could take us out, right?
But I never would.
And also, you, now have you ever entered competitions for that? I mean, what did a great skill for a woman to have.
It is. It's really important.
Any fighting.
I believe in it because I started training. It gets a little darker, but I had been severely attacked. But I survived the attack. And then I learned Krav Maga. And they wrote about it at Black Belt Magazine, 2005 edition. But I had been severely, he was trying to rape me. He was trying to kill me. He did neither. He neither raped or killed me. But he would beat me over the head, tied me up, everything. I was black and blue. He was beating me over the head with a shovel. And I kept fighting. But and this was in Topanga Canyon. I mean, I had just traveled all over Africa by myself. Nothing happened to me. Here in the U.S., you know, is where I got attacked. But after that, it was really important for me to let all women know that they should train. And all young girls should have martial arts. I really feel that way. I remember one lady I knew was offended when her physician suggested that she get her child into martial arts. He said, well, because you never know. And she's like, how could you even suggest that? I'm like,
how could you not?
Yeah, exactly. You need to know reality or question the reality. But,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
I like that. But see how she gave me a friend. In. But yeah, it's
all
so
young
important.
Girls should do martial arts. Oh my I really God. Think.
Yeah, and women too, because the older women, yes. you get,
if you haven't I done mean, it, do it. Yeah,
yeah. The older you get, you're not as strong.
And you see, Krav Maga. See, there's a difference with martial arts. I also studied Aikido. Like, if you were starting a little girl off, I'd say Aikido, because in the long run, an Aikido master is going to be able to do more than anybody. But if you need some short-term, really powerful stuff, you want something like Krav Maga, because that just gives you street fighting techniques on getting the vulnerable, not having to worry about your size, because everybody has those vulnerable spots. Yeah. You know, the Aikido, if after 20 years, you can flip people into real people, but that takes a long time. But I recommend that too.
Yeah.
But if like women out there who just, you want some street smarts, do the Krav Maga, because they taught us how to defend against knife. Well, knife is hard, but defend against guns, defend, you know, out, and just when you're going to your car with your keys, various things. Yeah.
Please listen to her and go take, instead of doing a selfie, doing selfies all day, go take some Krav Maga lessons, okay? Women, we need to take it.
Exactly.
Now, you also, are you still volunteering for Tree People's Speakers Bureau? What is that? That sounds cool.
So Tree People, if you don't, do you know Tree People?
No.
Oh, the best.
I like the word.
The best, you probably drive by it all the time. If you ever go over Coldwater Canyon, Coldwater Park is the home to Tree People. And Tree People was founded by the most wonderful man, Andy Lipkus, years ago in the 70s when he was 15 years old. He saw like the pollution in LA, and so he got a bunch of his friends to dig up a parking lot, and they planted trees, and that was the first action of Tree People. And now, I don't know, like if he was 15 in the 70s, who knows how old he is now, but now, you know, Tree People has taken off, and Andy's even been contacted by Homeland Security to work on water, because they also deal with water. But Tree People plants trees all, that they just do that. They plant trees all over LA.
Wow.
But they do it right so that the trees don't get chopped up or pulled out. You know, they check, they go through all the red tape, all what you have to do with the DWP and everywhere you need to do so that the trees won't be illegal. Because it has to be legal for a tree to be planted.
Wow. People don't think about this, but you just can't plant a tree anywhere. Right. They'll pull it right on out.
Right, which makes sense because there are certain trees that are right for certain areas, because then when it starts getting mixed up with piping and all that. And so I was involved with Tree People for a long, like we were just talked about where I was attacked. So that was in Topanga State Park. And then a couple years later, I was engaged to the Crown Prince of Saxony. That's a different story. But
what? Wait, no.
We'll get back to him.
Did you hear?
We'll get back to him.
People?
We'll get back to him. So I was engaged to Daniel, Prince Daniel. He was in Germany, and I bought him a tree for his birthday. And he said, oh, that's so wonderful, Christy. Will you go on the tree planting? And I didn't think about going on the tree planting. And then I looked, and I found out the tree planting was in the same spot where I got attacked. And I thought, at first I thought no, and then I thought, yes, this is a way to heal.
Yeah.
And so I planted the tree. I was so amped. And then the Tree People said, you've got to come on our speakers bureau and talk about your experiences. And then sure enough, a neighbor of mine was killed like 10 years ago. And so we did a tree planting for him in our old neighborhood. And that was the first tree planting, not that I went on, but that I instigated. And then I was, so Tree People is so magical and so amazing. And also when we were doing at the Magic Castle, we were doing an event for Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. And we were donating to the Salvation Army Bell Shelter for it was evacuees. You don't say refugees, for the evacuees from Hurricane Katrina. And I saw that they had all this land in the back, and I said, why don't we get a tree planting here of fruit trees? Because I saw they had apples in the refrigerator, and I thought, in the cafeteria, why don't we? And so I got a fruit tree planting there so that they have the fruit that they can eat, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. See, we need, all right. So if you need a place to volunteer, please contact Tree People.
Yes. Treepeople.org. And you can do like a Mother's Day card and have a tree planted. But you can go on the plantings. You can go on tree care days. Mm. You can get it at your schools. They've been working with a lot of schools. Tree People. Yeah.
Tree People. Now. Should I, before I forget, really quick, I've never had anyone on the show who was engaged to a prince. This is the first people. We need to get we need the thing. We need the sound for the princess. Pageantly. So real quick, tell us, how the hell did you get engaged to a prince?
Right. It was so funny. Well, the metaphysical way was I was with my friend, Garen Michael, who's a great guy. He plays gorillas in movies. And we were at his house in Van Nuys, and he's like, a frog. And like, there was a frog in the porch, and I picked up the frog. It was a live frog, and I kissed it. He's like, gross. And the frog hopped off, and I said, my prince is going to come now. And next thing you know, like a few months later, I'm with my mom, and that was when my dad was still alive and they were still married. And my mom said, well, daddy called from Germany today, says he has a man for you. Typical mom thing. Like, this is back when I was like 25, 24. And I said, oh, great. Because she was always trying to like fix me up with like the local guy who worked at the auto body shop or whatever.
Same thing.
I'm like, he's like 20 years older than me and he's fat.
Yeah, he's fat. Ugly. Yep. Go ahead.
And so, she said, oh, no, you'll like this guy. He's a prince. And
And you're thinking, oh, he's a prince of a guy.
Right. And so but actually who my dad was referring to was actually the father. His name was Prince Rüdiger, and it was of Saxony. And Saxony, if Germany were still a principality, there'd be four principalities. Saxony, Schleswig-Holstein, I forgot the other two. And so the father would have been on the throne. So he really would have been the king of Saxony. But that's not recognized anymore. The throne is not, but the royalty is. Mm. And so we were scheduled all to go over there to Europe. And the way my dad met Rüdiger, Papa, we call him Papa Rüdiger, but Prince Papa Rüdiger, was Rüdiger heard about one of my dad's books, because my dad wrote a book about Saxony, about that area. And so he came, Prince Papa Rüdiger came to my dad's book reading, and they immediately hit it off because they both loved to drink. So they just drank up a storm and had a party. And so my dad said, oh, you're going to meet him. And he's, you know, so we flew out there and we went to his house, which wasn't that grandiose at all. And I met him, but he was a lot older. And even though I did date a lot of older men, he was a lot older and there was no connection, like no eye contact or anything. Mm. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, still, I kissed a frog, I met a prince. So we're sitting there in the garden, and then he says, oh, well, Daniel will get that. I'm like, Daniel? Who's Daniel? All of a sudden, out of the door walked the most beautiful, like, elven boy who was a year younger than me, and that was his oldest son, Daniel. I'm like, bingo, that's the one.
That's the prince I want. That's the prince,
right. And so immediately that day, Daniel and I fell in love. We decided we'd get married. And so we had like a year or two engagement, and two of the songs on Circus Sanctuary are written for Daniel. Beneath the Mirabella, which we did a music video to, mm-hmm. Beneath the Mirabella and Pantomime are both written for Daniel. So you can look them up on iTunes if you just want those songs. Beneath the Mirabella from Circus Sanctuary and Pantomime.
Wow.
So we sort of had this long distance relationship, and it was, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. But
why couldn't you make it be?
You know, it was different because like right now, I'm with a wonderful person. And somebody said to me, instead of having a prince, you need a knight. And my guy, he's with the military. It's a little different. Because I don't want to say anything negative about Daniel and the royal family. Because they were wonderful, but they lived in a different realm. And I wanted, even though I'd like to be independently wealthy, I did want to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember once, so we stayed in contact and one of the other princes came here to LA and it was through the German consulate and I was singing. He said, oh, you were the one that Daniel almost married. And I said, yeah, I guess I wouldn't be singing this music. I was singing cabaret. And he said, oh, you wouldn't be singing at all.
Yeah.
Now maybe I'd be okay with that, but there's still stuff I want to do. So it was just a different world and it was very, like, I don't want to say controlled, but there was a certain obligation. Well, okay. Point in case, not to be gossipy and tabloidy, but Prince Harry and Princess Meghan, they're exiting the crown.
Yes.
That's never done. On a smaller scale, it was probably something like that, you know?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
So for whatever reasons they were, that might be the same reasons I left.
Because it's a very controlled world.
Yes.
And I would imagine, because you're a free spirit now.
Right.
I can imagine you were 10 then. Times yes. more yes. of a bohemian free spirit.
Completely.
So I can certainly see that. Of course, I would have probably dealt with it. I would have worked through it and I would have had like the boy come and visit me that cleans the ashes. I would have had the innkeeper's son. I would have made it work, damn it. Yes, I would have made it work for you.
Although, well, let me say though, I have to say, and this I will admit, they lived very modestly. And not that I need, you know, I don't need a lot of wealth, but there are certain things when I travel, I like certain comforts. And I have to say, that my man now, John DeBona is his name, and he's who I made my documentary with, but we'll talk about that later. I have to say John DeBona treats me like a princess. Whereas within the royal family, I wasn't treated like a princess.
Oh, well, say no more. I would have had to be treated like a princess.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there was not that. Because they tried to overcompensate in not being she and grandiose. Although in some ways they were, but for the most part,
they probably weren't so fun, huh? Because they don't really know. Maybe their idea of fun wasn't your idea.
Yeah, they could be, but it was a little too chaotic for me.
Chaotic?
It was chaotic. It was like, well, I mean, in this way, we'd like all of a sudden we'd be, because you didn't really have to stick to a schedule. So like one day we're in Berlin and they're like, oh, we're going to drive to Hamburg today. Oh, okay, no, we're going to go here today. Plans were changing, lightning bolt, and a lot of times it revolved around whoever the patriarch of the family was.
Oh, okay.
So again, that was that world, and I'm not criticizing that world, but it was, I felt a little like off my kilter, and especially at that time, like a lot of it, I would say also a lot of why a lot of it didn't work was where I was at that time.
Yeah.
Because I was shaky emotionally. I needed to start learning my own stability. And I only got my own stability by being on my own for so long, all these years.
Right. Well, there you go. We could have had a princess, but but think of this. I would have never gotten to meet her. She was
that's
a
right.
Princess,
I probably, so yeah, but yeah, exactly.
We're moving on from the prince now, but that's, we'll probably never have a person on our show ever who came that close to being a princess. So let's move on to some exciting, your documentary.
Yes.
Guantanamo Server, which is now available on Amazon Prime.
Yes. Yes. It took forever to get distribution. But my distribution came from a man named David DeVona, not DeBona, like my boyfriend, but DeVona.
DeVona.
Proven Entertainment. And he was able to get it on Amazon Prime and Roku. And I have other couple outlets I don't know of. And that actually came through, I'll just give a plug to a wonderful man named Jules Heimovitz. Mm-hmm. He's retired now, but he was a good friend of mine, and he had been head of MGM and Spelling Entertainment. And so he made the connection, and I was very grateful to him. But a lot of Guantanamo Circus's success goes back to you.
Me?
You.
Me?
You.
How come? How did that happen?
Because you were on the initial screening layer that got Guantanamo Circus into the Burbank International Film Festival.
That's right.
And you watched it first and passed it on. And it's always those gatekeepers. Because, and I'd like to say, for anybody out there making a film, if you get rejected by a million film festivals, which I have,
yeah,
I have to say, if it just know that it's because you didn't know somebody in that. And unfortunately, that's
the
way it is.
That is right. I am a screener for 2 film festivals, Burbank International Film Festival and NSAEN Film Festival. So I can tell you that there are so many wonderful, wonderful films that you screen. But you got to think about how thousands and thousands and thousands of entries are made to these film festivals every day during the period. So not all of them can be screened. And
right. So don't give up. Don't be discouraged.
So don't be discouraged because you and I would encourage you to resubmit always to that film festival. Always, always. And then make sure you put a note on there that says something like, I submitted to your festival last year. Maybe it didn't blah, 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 but just trying again. It's very important to put that in the notes.
That's very good. That's good to know. I didn't know that. And
always put that you submitted, because there are people that read those notes and they'll be like, oh, they submitted last year. And then they'll get scared, because if you keep entering it, they're like, because, you know, there's a lot of money involved with submitting fees.
Right.
Some of them can be up to $80, and it breaks my heart that you have to pay it. But that's why it's so important that when you're planning your film, that you keep a bumper cushion, at least 20% of your budget. Really, it sounds like a lot, but you got to keep that for the post-production, and you got to keep it for your marketing and your poster, and most importantly, submitting to film festivals, because it is very expensive. But keep doing it.
Right.
Always. And absolutely. Put your note. So Guantanamo Circus, I'm going to watch it tonight. And we have Amazon Prime.
Oh, yay.
I think I watched it before and it was fantastic, but I'm going to watch it again.
Thank you. And I encourage anybody, if they'd be willing, to write a little review down below, because I've had friends watching it, but if you go down on the page and you can write a review, apparently that helps bump it up. And I haven't gotten a very
on
many people.
On the Amazon
Amazon? On the Amazon. Yeah, see, I think a lot of people don't know
that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, most people don't know that, and that's why a lot of friends are watching it, but not knowing how to write a review. But somewhere, I guess afterwards, there must be on the page, or the page that you initially click on, a way to start, rate it, but also to write a little review, even if it's just two words. Great job.
Yeah. Right on the Amazon Prime.
On the Amazon Prime link. It should be right there on the link. Yeah, I haven't done it myself, so I should figure out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that helps a lot.
But now, you got a new documentary coming out, Troy.
Troy, the original.
What is it? The original Ladyboy.
Right.
What the hell is that about?
Right.
I love that title.
Although, I just want to say, Guantanamo Circus stars our good friend Count Smokula. He was in it, too. Our good friend
Smokey Miles.
Smokey Miles, Count Smokula.
Oh, he's so funny.
Have you had him on the show?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's
a cigar-smoking maniac, right?
He doesn't smoke anymore at all,
he doesn't.
But he does the Count Smokula act, and then he's Smokey Miles. He's fabulous. Mm. Yeah, he's wonderful. But yeah, so it was his circus that got us to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Oh, and my that's God, we don't actually know what it's for. I know what it's about, but real quick,
right,
make
real
sure
quick,
you
Oh, yeah, so it's about a circus, and I was part of that circus, that went to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba in 2006. Height of the controversy, though we didn't really make a political thing, but it was very much like the jester, you know, through the sort of the clown, the diplomatic immunity that the clown has. So a group of clowns go and we sort of surreptitiously shot. We had no intention of making a documentary, but we stole a little bit of footage. And then years later in 2012, I decided to put it into a documentary. But Smokey Miles and his circus, we got this job down in Guantanamo Bay, and it was just crazy. And then you'll see from there what happens.
Yeah, I do remember you have to watch this because it is amazing footage. And it was like it was shot to be a documentary, even though it wasn't planning.
You thank you for saying that. Yeah, we weren't planning
it
at all.
Planning,
no.
But the way it was shot. It
right.
Was, it
thank
was,
you.
So
new.
Real quick, tell us about Troy the original Ladyboy.
So yeah, it's really exciting. And again, that was something, and this also to be encouraging to people. After doing Guantanamo Circus and learning how much a documentary costs and how hard it is to get into film festivals, I decided I'm just going to make this for YouTube and I'm not going to put any money into it. And so John DeBona, my significant other, and I, because we knew this man named Troy Walker, I was working with him at Cody's Viva Cantina in Riverside.
My friend Pamela's playing
yes,
here this
Pam.
Friday night.
Pamela Clay, beautiful, yay! Wonderful, brilliant Pamela Clay, the best Edith Piaf interpreter on the planet.
Absolutely.
Pam's fabulous. And so Cody used to own Viva Cantina, and Cody was the musical director for Troy. And Troy Walker had been this legend back in the 60s. He had been openly out and openly gay. And yet he was a star at the Palomino Club, which is country western, which wasn't exactly queer friendly.
Yeah.
And they loved him. And he played with everyone, Jerry Lee Lewis, all these fabulous people. And so he was just this hit and this wonderful. He won over anybody who had any kind of homophobia. They fell in love with him. And this was the 60s and 70s when it was still kind of illegal. And so then in the documentary, what we do is we rediscover that now in his late 70s, he's still alive and he celebrates his 80th birthday and he's performing at Cody's Viva Cantina. And that's where I met him, was performing at Cody's Viva Cantina. So John and I just got our camera, did the research we could, and put together this short documentary, Troy, the Original Ladyboy, still not released. And we were just going to put it on YouTube. But Heartland Film Festival, which is a big one, an Oscar qualifier, Craig Prater at Heartland Film Festival found it and wanted it to be the premiere of their first ever Pride Stride night at Indie Shorts as part of Heartland Film Festival. And they flew us in and they flew Troy in. And Troy is living in nursing care, hadn't been on a plane in 30 years, hadn't been in a shishi hotel in a long time.
I bet he loved that.
And he loved it. So also for anyone making films out there, just do it. Follow your heart. We didn't put any money into it. And we might just put it up on YouTube because our pay was that, being flown into Heartland Film Festival, getting the biggest reception you ever could have gotten, and giving this gift to Troy. Walker.
So where was it viewed? That means, actually it says 5:46. Oh, that's the 5 minute. Yeah.
Five minute.
5 minute.
Here it says 48.
48? Oh, okay. So is it 46 or 48?
48.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So we got 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. So was it ever shown anywhere?
It was shown at the Burbank International Film Festival this last year, and we showed it at the VFW Gudgeon, and then it showed it at the Pride Stride. And so now we're figuring out where it's going to be, so just keep your eye out for it.
Well, you have to submit it to NSAEN Film Festival, which is the other film festival that I screen for.
Oh, love to. Okay, great.
And I have a feeling it's going to do well. So what can we do to help you get this on Amazon Prime? Is there anything we can do?
We might have a lead to get it on Amazon Prime, but I'm going to feel out the whole LGBTQ distribution, because that might be better for it.
Have you tried to submit that to all the LGBTQ?
We have submitted festivals to a lot, and a lot of them rejected it. So just showing that, you know, you can have some success and then be rejected. So,
but it's not, I would never say it's rejection, because I'm telling
you. Right, exactly. It doesn't get viewed, right?
98% of the time, it's not viewed. Exactly. So you keep submitting it to doing it when you get the money. So
right, exactly.
I would do a fundraiser on one of those crowdfunding sites to get money to submit it to the festivals. They people who need a tooth could do a fundraiser, so why not?
Exactly. Or we might just want to give it away on YouTube and have everyone see Troy, because we didn't put any money into it. We got our reward. But we're not quite sure, because just in case we get because PBS was going to screen it, and then 2 minutes in, then all of a sudden they stopped. You know.
So is it on there now? Can we watch it on YouTube?
No, you can't. No, you can watch the trailer and the sneak preview on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and go Troy ! The original Ladyboy, you can see some good footage, some good teasers.
Oh gosh, well, I really want this to become a documentary now.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it is a documentary, but we have
I
to
want it to be, you know, like.
Thank you. Well,
an Oscar nominated.
I would love that.
We got to see how we can do it. So what is upcoming real quick for your, isn't that
I love
wonderful?
It.
But what, real quick, what's upcoming for Christina Lindhart?
Upcoming, I'll probably be at the Magic Castle performing again, probably in March. And then my, in the Peller Theater with Albie Selznick and Andrew Goldenhirsch. And then our veterans play April 18th, because that's where a lot of my passion is. And
remind me, send me something I can promote it on the radio show. And then we'll come too.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Obviously doesn't have a gig, because you know he's a musician as well.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so that is Christina Lindhart.
Thank you.
Lindhart. It is Lindhart.
Yeah, Lindhart with the, it's German spelling.
Lindhart. Right. Christina Lindhart, Circus Sanctuary, available now on iTunes. Please go there and get a copy, even if it's one song. Get one of the two by the Prince was written for the Prince. And also, you can get Voodoo Princess on iTunes. And tonight, there's nothing to do on a Sunday. Make sure you watch Guantanamo Circus on Amazon Prime. Thank you so much for being on the show. Say goodbye to your fans.
Bye-bye. Thank you all so much.
Bye. Love you. Mwah, 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 mwah.